Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood, tips and tricks,
products we love,
and brands that we can't live without. Let's get into it.
Hello.
Georgia, you looking gorgeous in leopard print today.
Thank you. I feel like I have to layer with polo necks at the moment under dresses, but we're not quite into spring, are we yet?
I mean, I would say definitely not. I've gone out in a Mac today and it's absolutely freezing.
Yeah.
Looking good, but
and
freezing
a blazer
on the inside.
Yeah, exactly. How are you doing anyway?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm getting there. It's been an interesting, tricky couple of weeks, but do you know what? It's been really lovely to just take a step back the last couple of days. I worked, obviously, through the whole kind of chaos of last week. I think I did like 18 days on the bounce at work.
Wow.
I just felt like I couldn't give any more. I was like trying to turn the feel good up at heart and then just feeling really
low,
really shit coming out of work. But the kids have been so magic. It's like they've picked up on my grief or something. I've walked through the door and they've just rushed down the corridor to give me hugs. And I don't know, Luna is just, they're just powerful little beans, aren't they? So in the last couple of days, I've had some time off. I did some acupuncture.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. How was that yesterday?
Oh, Georgia.
You love it.
So good. She's amazing, my Chinese doctor that I'm seeing. So she does an hour of acupressure massage and then like an hour of acupuncture, and she leaves me in the room for 40 minutes. I just sleep and sleep all with needles
with
in
all
my
the
head.
Needles in
ovaries. I've been getting some pain in my ovaries, so she's been focusing on that area and just it's incredible. Have you ever had it?
No, I haven't had it. I was gonna have it. I had reflexology first before I had DG, and I was gonna have acupuncture if that didn't work, but it did work because I went into labor that night. So
it's amazing, isn't it?
It is.
What are you doing for yourself, Georgia? Because burnout is something that
doing for myself.
Is above your head. It's like, Georgia's going to burn out. She does too much.
No, do you know what I was thinking the other day? Since Christmas, I have actually been a lot more chilled and I have been taking a lot more time for myself.
Good.
And it does feel really nice. Yeah. I've been sleeping loads better since I've been taking time for myself. And mostly it's like going to the gym, or it's just actually being at home and not looking around thinking of all the things I need to do and thinking, no, fuck it, I'm just going to sit here and have a cup of tea. I'm going to take a leaf out of my husband's book and just be like, yeah, I'm going to nap. I mean, I'm not there yet, but you know, who knows? By next week, I might be having like little afternoon naps here and there.
I'll be trying to get hold of you at 2 o'clock and you'll be like, well, Gigi's asleep, so
yeah,
I am too.
Having a siesta.
We've obviously been talking a lot on Made by Mamas recently about burning out.
Yes.
About that constant treadmill that you're on as parents where you're like, oh no, I can't sit down because I've got to do X, Y and Z. And actually, it's just fucking exhausting.
It is, exactly.
The person that we're going to chat to today is somebody who talks a lot about it on her channels as well. She's an author, a speaker, she's a mum to three. She's superwoman. It's Anna Mather.
Let's get to it.
So it is a joyful day today because the woman sitting opposite us is someone who we've been trying to get in for a chat for a while, but she's such a busy lady. So we're over the moon that she's here with us today. She is a psychotherapist, a mum to three, two boys and a little girl. She's a writer. She's just written her new book, which is available to pre-order. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. And of course, a speaker as well. It is Anna Mather.
Hi.
Hello. Thank you so much for coming
Thanks
in.
Thanks for having me.
I forgot to say Instagrammer as well.
Oh, gosh.
Do we say that?
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
Instagrammer, influencer. We don't really like that one.
Yeah, it makes them feel funny.
Yeah.
But you have got a really amazing online platform.
Thank you.
And you speak very articulately and passionately about kind of mental health and how we can be kind to ourselves. So today we're going to be discussing the burnout.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is perfect timing for us because I feel like we both have been going on for quite a few weeks, actually.
I feel like this is going to be a therapy session, isn't it, really? We're going to have a bit of group therapy here.
We are.
And everyone listening is going to get some tips out of it as well.
So people that don't know you, can you just give us your story?
Oh, gosh, which part?
Well, just how you've become
how it
such,
all came about. Do you know what? Funnily enough, I downloaded Instagram in 3 years ago in March. And I downloaded it because I was moving house and I wanted to get some inspiration for this kind of blank box of a new build that I was moving into. And I started just sharing screenshots of lamps and things. So I think my friends were a bit fed up with me kind of, you know, WhatsApping them and saying, what about this? What about that? And that's literally how it started.
It started as interiors.
Yeah. And actually, I don't really show any of that now.
Do you still love lamps?
I got some lamps. It's still there. I used it as inspiration to do the house. And once I'd done the house, I'm not really one of these people that kind of keeps redoing rooms and things. So once it was done, it was done. And I remember doing an Instagram live to show these house people. There was a whole pocket of people on Instagram just there to talk about how they do up their new build.
Yeah,
and
cool.
How they are character. I didn't even know this.
Yeah.
There's something for everyone.
There is something. And that is what's so good about social media.
Absolutely. And it was such an eye-opening experience. And I did an Instagram live pretty much when Instagram Live started to show these housey loving people my new house that I'd been trying to do up with all their inspiration. And one of them said, you know, Anna, what do you do for a job? Like, what's your actual job? And I said, well, I'm a psychotherapist. And then they started asking me questions. And I just loved answering them. And then I started, I don't know, I've always loved writing. I've always loved kind of communicating psychotherapy. And until then, I was just always doing it in a therapy room. In 50 minutes, clients would come, then they would go and I'd write on my notes and that would be it. And I suddenly realised, actually, there's this platform where I can use my skills and take them out of the therapy room into this kind of space where, you know, mums are just sitting there scrolling, drawing feeds and like in the middle of the night and
crying
and feeling all of these things and comparing themselves to everyone else out there. And I was like, actually, this is a really valuable space to be doing this. And I just kind of fell into it and it kind of it grew from there, really.
Because I guess you can help more people, can't you? Because how many slots do you do in a day in your clinic?
So I was doing about 4 at that point.
Yeah, so 4 people in a day, whereas I guess on your platform, you're hundreds of thousands of people you can help each day.
Yeah, and I just, you know, there's so much on there, isn't there? You know, we can just end up down these rabbit holes and we're all quite vulnerable to comparing ourselves and, you know, when we're doing the scrolling and I want to put stuff in there in people's hands that is doing something different, you know, that is giving them something, that is kind of grounding them a little bit amidst all of the noise. And that's what I hope to be doing through the words that I share there. And a lot of it, like if you read all my recent posts, they're about overwhelm and burnout.
So when
you ask me what did I want to talk about, you know, I'm like, well, that is what I want to talk about because that's what I've been through so many times and that's what I've felt a little bit of recently. So it's, you know, you'll see through my posts what I'm going through as well because I share my own experience. And I think that's the valuable thing about Instagram. Like you get little snippets of other people's lives. And when people are being open and honest, it encourages other kind of open and honesty as well.
Well, we both did a post, didn't we?
Yeah.
Weirdly.
Yeah.
We'd had a conversation yesterday on the phone and then we both did a post on burning out last night because obviously it's very much there. And Georgia and I obviously discuss it a lot. How,
we do.
You know, the never-ending juggle as a parent where you're doing everything that you used to do in your life, but then you've got these little creatures that you've got to look after and you're really ultimately responsible for, and you're trying to be the best parent for them, and then everything else is coming up and you've got to think about your relationship as well and your career, or, you know, just running a house. It's just like it's an exhausting treadmill.
I feel tired just listening to that list, actually.
Writing a list stresses me out because I'm like, if I actually put it down on paper, I look at how many things I have to do and I think, oh no. Oh no, I'd rather just let it be.
It feels like a weight, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
We're all knackered. Yeah. We are all knackered and we are not slowing down. We're speeding up and we're looking at other ways to be more efficient, other ways to fit more in.
Exactly.
You know, we're constantly looking to do more so that we can hopefully one day get to this point where we can sit down and be like, right,
we've checked off
I've
everything
done it all
on the
now,
list.
But we never get there. So, you know, there's something really wrong with what's going on in this yeah. kind of this roller coaster. And I think that's what I want to talk about with you guys. And that's why I think it'll be a bit of a therapy session, because we need to stop this. It's not sustainable.
Why are we doing it?
I don't know. I was just going to say, I don't know if this is why, but I saw a post on your Instagram, and this is something that we talk about a lot, is that whenever we take the time for ourselves, Zoe and I both do it, it has to be productive.
Yeah.
So it's always, you know, a workout at the gym because that's good for us. It's going to make us feel good. You know, it might help us get back into shape. So everything we're doing for us
has a purpose.
And whereas I think you put something like, what my bedroom looks like after I've done a 20-minute hit. And you'd basically, in that 20-minute hit circuit, you'd tidied up your room as well.
I tied it up in the intervals.
What it looks like, yeah. What it looks like when my husband's done one and he hasn't done that because he's just had a rest. And that we say this all the time. If the babies are napping, I see that as an opportunity to
cram
do something, like to be productive.
Whereas, fold up the washing, finish off doing the laundry, you know, cleaning.
What can you do in that amount of time? What can you possibly check off
the list?
It's
like you're being chased, isn't it, by your to-do list. You're like, how much can I fit in this time? And you never know how long it's going to be. It could be 40 minutes, it could be 2 hours. So you run at 100 miles an hour.
We
need to talk about this because there's something's changed in our culture over the last kind of couple of generations where this is just how we're living now.
Yeah.
And when we peel back a couple of layers, like literally a layer or two, you know, so many of us are actually on the verge of tears because we're so knackered and we feel so, you know, like we're failing this part of our life or this part isn't getting enough of us, or I've done that but I haven't done it very well because I was interrupted a million times. And we just feel a bit rubbish.
Yeah. And do you think it's because we are living in a different society now where we've got to be, you know, we've got to look our best and we've got to do everything and we've got to be the highest achiever at, you know, our kids have got to be the highest achievers at school, and there's competitiveness constantly around us. I mean, I feel that definitely with what I do. And I feel like it's sort of, I try not to let it encroach into my personal life, but I feel sometimes I'm just constantly go, go. You know, I get back from my breakfast show at the weekends and I'm like not going to have a nap, which is what I should be doing because I've been up since 3:30. Yeah. I'm like doing everything that I can and feeling like shit.
Yes, because we treat ourselves like machines. I think a big part of the problem is the fact the average phone user touches their phone 2,600 times a day. And that is the average phone user. I am not an average phone user. They said that the top 10% of phone users, which I'm probably in, seeing as that's my workplace, it's my life admin, it's my food shop, they touch their phone, I think it was like up towards 6,000 times a day. And if we are just picking up and mindlessly scrolling, I don't know about you, but I'll pick my phone and I'll go straight to Instagram without even realising, if I went on there to send a message to my husband. You know, we do it automatically. And then the images that are going across our eyes, you know, if we're feeling vulnerable and we're feeling tired, we're seeing those snapshots. And I know we all know that it's a snapshot in someone's life. So they might look like they're, you know, they've just made these beautiful, you know, smiley face sandwiches for their child and they're having a wonderful day at the beach.
And you're ours are like, eating fish fingers again.
You know, sort of fish fingers, beige food, freezer meal. But, you know, and we are hardwired to compare ourselves. We are hardwired to see what we believe. And I think this is what's changed over generations. So you think of like our parents' generation, what you see is what you get. Really, if someone, you know, we didn't have a million different ways to kind of filter our lives. So if someone looked like they were struggling, they probably were. If someone was juggling, they probably were. You know, whereas for us, we've got so many mediums in which we can just, you know, filter that bit or just focus on that bit or move that pile of washing out the way or, you know, so then we are wired to believe what we see. We have to consciously remind ourselves, you know, go through that little coaching process in our head where we're like, okay, what are you doing here? I'm thinking that they're a better mum than me. You know, notice what's going on and then take a second just to remind yourself that all you see is not all that's going on. I remember a moment where I was walking down into town and I had a double buggy and I had, you know, I had a 20-month gap between my first two. So I had like a screaming little baby who had reflux. And then I had my other toddler who I just felt like I was neglecting, and he was having a terrible time seeing me crying quite a lot because I was just so exhausted. And I remember walking down the road in the sunshine with my big sunnies on, and I knew that any mum looking at me would have thought, wow, she is absolutely killing it. Mm. Look at her with her two little kids, you know, walking down the road, looking kind of content. But actually the reality of it was that 15 minutes before, I was on my kitchen floor crying to my husband, who was trying to, you know, who needed to be in a meeting, saying, I can't do this. I can't do this. And no one... Unless you tell people, no one knows that. We don't see that on Instagram. We, you know, unless people are overtly honest about how, what's going on behind the scenes. We see the mum walking down the street with her two little children. And we project, you know, we tend to compare the areas that we're struggling in with the area that someone else is thriving in, don't we?
Yeah. Mm.
You know, and we always come off either feeling smug or feeling rubbish, and neither of those are good.
Mm. No, yeah, you're right.
No, neither of those are actually honouring how we feel or the fact that, you know, we're just doing our best. It's saying you're either better than that person, which we know isn't true because we all have all these different facets going on at the same time, or we're worse than them. And that's not true. That's not true either. So it's always, you know, I heard somewhere the other day, you know, comparison is one of the biggest forms of self-harm. Like, because you're always taking away or like falsely adding to yourself when we do it.
It makes you feel very stressed, I think. Yeah. So I did it constantly in my 20s. This was even before I had my kids, with other presenters, my peers. And I was always looking at their careers and going, well, how come she booked that job? And, you know, why is she doing that show? And why didn't I get it? And I actually think it did my career a detriment.
Absolutely.
And I constantly, and obviously battling an eating disorder at the same time. So I was just constantly feeling in this state of stress and anxiety and never spoke about it because Instagram, well, wasn't around. And that's the kind of platform now, isn't it, to kind of go weirdly. And I didn't talk to any of my friends and family about it, so it was a weird one. And the minute I let that go and started thinking that is their life, that's their stuff, be supportive, you know, only send love out, it really changed something inside of me. And actually being a mother did it again, because I'd never look at another mum now and think, oh well, look at her, I just want to go over and give them a cuddle and go,
absolutely,
you're all right, should we have a coffee? Can we also be friends?
And also in life, I think some people are good at things and some people are good at other things. And I think once you're not like comfortable with what you're good at, and also like you know what you're not so good at, I think then you start to feel a bit better.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's things in parenting, like I'm quite chilled, so I know that I don't get too stressed with the kids. I know I'm good at that. But equally, I know I'm not good at remembering to send the forms in to school or remembering the coats or, you know, all of that stuff. I'm not good at that.
So having compassion for yourself, and as soon as you can accept those parts of yourself that are, you know, a bit more rough edged and a bit, you know, I'm not great at that either. Nursery came.
Me neither.
The nursery teacher said to me yesterday, they took me aside and they were like, Anna, just to let you know, they're so sweet. Charlie's coat, we're struggling to do it up. And I was like, it's probably age 2 to 3. Now he's 3 and a half. It was age 12 to 18 months. You know, and actually a couple of years ago, I would have been like, oh, I would have felt so much shame. I'd be like, what are they going to think of me? Like, I can't believe it. Like, how terrible of me not to notice that his coat is too small. I just laugh so much.
Oh, yeah, you've got
to. But on the way out of nursery, I had to tell two parents why I was giggling. And, you know, once you can kind of connect with those parts of yourself and become friends with them, you're less likely to just kind of pull yourself apart at any given opportunity.
I mean, it's really funny, isn't it? It happened, the exact same thing happened to me at school when I was dropping Luna off. One of the other mums who knows me there was like, oh, is Kit wearing Luna's pink beanie? And I was like, yeah, what, why? And I was like, well, because he likes to wear pink and I can't be asked to get him a hat.
Absolutely.
So you kind of, the first time round, you're so stressed that you'd be like, oh, I better take that off. Now I'm like, oh, let him wear his sister's pink beanie. I couldn't give a shit.
Do you know what? Absolutely.
My thing is the red book.
Right. Oh, the red
I
book.
No. I have remembered the red book once for Axel. Once.
Just leave it in the car.
And recently I thought, oh, he's going to school soon. And that's when they get rid of it, isn't it? So I think, oh, well, that's fine now. We've missed, I think he had his last, whatever, 3 and a half jabs.
Yeah.
And I didn't remember it that time. So now I'm like, oh, well, that's done. Great, that's gone. Like, I don't need to remember that anymore.
They give you slips
anymore.
Of paper, don't they? And you have to try and remember to tuck
them
in.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I mean, no, that red book looks brand new.
This antiquated red book, I just... can't deal with it. Mine's completely covered in coffee and various slips of paper that haven't gone near it.
I don't even know where
mine is. Let's fuck the red book off. I've had enough of it. So burning out is something that, how can we kind of start making some space for ourselves? Because as mothers, program not to, right? That's just where we're at. So what can we do? What little changes can we do at home?
So there are so many, actually. I think, first of all, really knowing what your flags are for burnout.
Yeah.
You know, I like to think of it as a car going down a hill. And the earlier on that we're able to put the brakes on, the easier it is to do. Because when it's, you know, when that car's gained momentum, you know, it's going to have, it's harder to stop it, isn't it, the faster it's going. So it's really important to know what your flags are. Like, I found myself, I've had a really full-on time with work and family life. The kids were ill, basically. We had norovirus. It was so unfun. And then they had kind of coughs and colds and 3 weeks. And I started really resenting my husband for going on the train to work, you know. And actually, that's one of my flags. When I start resenting my husband for his, you know, 90-minute commute, I'm like, there's something, you know, there's something going on here. When I find myself wanting to cry because the oats have fallen out the cupboard, you know, when one of my kids wants something from me and I get that feeling of like, oh my gosh, I cannot deal with people wanting from me. Yes. You know, those are my red flag. You know, those are my red flags. And I think on Sunday night, my husband, he said something really, you know, just kind of just asked me a question and I literally flew off the handle. And it was all of the emotion, all of the stress that I had just been putting under the carpet as a way of just carrying on to function, because that's just what you have to do. And I realised that, you know, we need a margin between what our load is, the stuff that we do, and all the things required of us, and our limit. Yeah. You know, so we need a contingency. And actually, when life throws curveballs at you, you know, it's a bit like having a savings account. So when your washing machine breaks, you're like, it's all right. We've got this. We've got the kind of the money for the this kind of thing. If the, you know, car needs a new tyre, we need a contingency. And we have none. Mm. We live to our limit.
Yeah.
And notice the flags of what it is for you when you're living to your limit. Is it the fact that come the evening, you just want to like half a bottle of wine, you know, because you just want to numb that stress? Is it that your husband or your partner says a little something and you just fly off?
Yeah.
You know, what are your flags? So you have to know those before you know what to do about them.
Too tired to cook.
Yeah.
Is one
I've
for
been
me.
There this
and,
week.
Oh. I'd love to be those people where they're like, I just get into the kitchen, I open the cupboards, I just rustle something
just
up. And I'm literally
something.
Like, open the fridge. Oh, look, there's some milk. I'll just have some cereal. Mm. Or, oh, look, hummus and carrots for dinner. That feeling of cannot be asked at the end of the day to cook is one of the flags for me, because that really should be a moment where my husband and I can like have a glass of wine and a chat and we sit and I'm literally like, get me the bowl, get me the cereal and let me lie in bed.
Yeah.
That's
I've got nothing left.
Nothing left, yeah.
See, I feel like I should do that, but I don't.
Right, why? You because feel like you should cut yourself some slack sometimes and actually just get out the
but
kitchen.
But you're the chef of the family.
I know, but then that is to my detriment sometimes, because I'll like cook, clear away, because I think that's my thing and I love doing it and I do. But then it's when I don't enjoy it anymore that I think, no, this has got to stop. Like, I can't remember what day it was, but maybe I think it had been Sunday as well.
Yeah.
And
Sunday was a day for it.
I have literally cooked 4 meals today and cleared up and cooked another one and cleared up, where actually sometimes I should just be like, do you know what? I'm not cooking tonight.
Do you ever say to James, why don't you just cook your own dinner?
No.
But why not?
I don't know, because I've just always taken that on. And he's more than capable.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely more than capable. He's lived on his own. You know, he's absolutely fine. But I just don't. You know, and I don't know.
So
it's
no,
just
there's
my
two,
thing.
There's two questions I would have for you here if we were to have a therapy session. Number one, is that part of how you love people? Is that part of how you get your worth as a mum?
Yes.
Is this is what I do.
Yes.
This makes me feel like a good mum.
Yes.
You know, so actually sometimes, you know, these things are a question of worth. It's like rest itself. You actually have to feel like you deserve to stop.
Yeah.
And that's a big issue. I think a lot of us, you know, if we're not even going for a wee when we need a wee, if we're not even, you know what we do? We kind of hop around for hours and yet we say to the kids, do you need a wee? Do you need a wee? Should we all take you for a wee? Yeah. Do you want a glass of water? Do you want a glass of water? Most of us are dehydrated as mums because we don't even listen to our thirst anymore. You know, if we're not...
It's so true.
If we're not listening to those little things in our drink your water, if we're not listening to those little things and telling us every time we drink water, every time we go for a wee when we need one, it's the, you know, it's a small thing. So we're telling ourselves that we are worth tending to our own little needs in the way that we will... check on the kids. Are they hungry? Are they tired? Do they need a rest? Do they need, you know, Do they need a nappy change? Yeah, you. But yet we are not tending to our own needs. So when it comes to rest, if we're not worth a glass of water, how on earth are we going to reconcile the fact that we are worth stopping?
Yeah.
You know?
I also think this feeds into our sex lives, actually, yeah. Because recently, I'd say in the last kind of 6 months, there's been a feeling surrounding my husband and I. I've always, you know, we've always been rocking in that sort of area, and there's a real attraction there between us, and it's always been something that's come quite naturally. But for me recently, I've sort of felt, I won't worry about myself. Let's just have a red flag. Yeah, and suddenly it was like, I deserve to have an orgasm. Yes. I deserve to have some attention on myself. Like, I deserve that. I need that. But it was all this stuff that was going on in my head. Like, what if Luna walks in? Or what if the kids cry? Or what if they need me? Or, you know, I'm too tired. You know, it was red flag.
And, you know, that's one of your red flags.
It really is.
It's really starting to notice what those are. We need to.
I reckon a lot of women are going through that.
Absolutely.
It's like another thing on the list.
Isn't it?
And you think, oh no, put that down. Put that to the bottom.
Yeah.
The things that you use to enjoy just become another need. So even, you know, exercise, if that's something you get a lot of enjoyment from, it just becomes another thing you have to do.
Yeah.
You know, so the enjoyment is taken out of it and it just becomes another chore. Mm. And that could be, you know, that could be one of your red flags as well. But I think we have this kind of ingrained belief through social media and everything that we are kind of being filled with is that we are what we do. We are how much we do. We are how well we do it. That is such a lie. Yeah. You know, that is what will keep us running and running and living like we're being chased, because we believe that ultimately if we get everything done and if we do it really well, then we're good. We're okay. We can relax then because we've earned it. But actually, you know, without scheduling in rest, we're going to burn out. And if we ever get to that point, we're never going to be able to enjoy it anyway, because we're, you know, it's like when you get ill just before you go on holiday, you know, because you're done. And your body knows it's getting a rest, so it chooses then to kind of have the physical meltdown that you've been staving off with adrenaline for so long. Like, we're living on adrenaline like we're living on coffee.
Yeah. We'll be right back after the short break.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So welcome back, back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Where were we?
You hear so much, don't you? Like, I was talking to a friend the other day and she was saying about her husband and how hard he works. He works so hard. But then whenever we get time with him, he's ill. And I was like, but I think that's what a lot of us as mothers do.
Yep.
It's like, as soon as you get the opportunity to rest, you know, you might have a girls' weekend or a, you know, a spa break, you feel rubbish because you've stopped.
Yep. It's that crash at the end of that hill with a car that's gone down, and then it just crashes at the end.
Yeah.
You know, and we can stop that.
How?
Yes, how? Let's talk about this. You know, self-care. It's gone so cheesy, self-care. I wish it hadn't, because it is absolutely vital. We've turned something that is a building block of our mental health into an optional, like, oh, let's just, you know, I've got to book a massage. I've got to just, you know, every now and again, it's a treat.
Yeah.
It needs to be broken down, you know, for the benefit. It's not just for you, it's for your family.
Yeah. Like,
there have been times when my husband has said, for the love of God, will you just go and do some yoga or something? Because, you know, I'm living, they're getting my dregs. I've only got dregs left.
Yes.
And that's not nice for anyone.
Yeah.
I'm bitey, I'm snappy, and I'm impatient. I'm more likely to kind of not be able to respond to my children in the way that I want to be able to respond to them as a parent, because that takes energy.
Yeah.
Like, not shouting when you really feel like shouting, that takes a lot of energy.
Especially if you've got a toddler that keeps going, stop shouting at me, mummy. And you're like, I'm actually not shouting, but I'm about to. It's the most annoying phrase.
You can feel it rising up, can't you? It's a physical thing, you know, and the more drained we are, the less we're able to rationalise some of those anxious thoughts, the less we're able to, you know, recognise when we're comparing ourselves with other people, the more critical our internal dialogue comes. And this is another thing we really have to keep an eye on when addressing this. How are you talking to yourself? You know, what's the language that you're using? We all do it. It's like the background noise to our life. Like, and if you imagine, if you're being critical, and that was rubbish, like, you should do that better, or, you know, you idiot. Can you imagine what would happen to your child's self-esteem if you spoke to them like that?
Yeah.
So this is the internal voice that we all have about loads of different things. I have it constantly, various aspects of my life. I'm sure you do as well, G.
Yeah.
That is the voice that we need to retrain, because that's the tricky one that keeps coming back up and saying all the negativity.
Because if we've got that voice beating us over the backside with a stick, saying we need to do better, do more, you know, of course we're going to be burnt out.
Yeah.
And if our standards, if it's pushing our standards so high that we can't even attain them, of course we're going to be burnt out. So we have to adjust it. And you just got to ask yourself, would I say this to my child? What would it do to their self-esteem if they heard this as repetitively as I'm saying it to myself?
Yeah.
If it's not good enough for them, it's not good enough for me.
Mm,
whether
I like
you believe that or not, whether your heart believes that yet or not, your heart will believe that when you start talking to yourself kinder. You can see children flourish when they're encouraged and when they're given, when their feelings are validated.
Yeah.
There are so many feelings that get lost in this burnout. It just adds to it.
Yeah.
You know, we're so busy, and a lot of that time, it's actually a coping mechanism against some of those more difficult feelings that are harder to, that we don't want to feel. We don't want to feel hard feelings. We don't want to feel sad. You know, we don't want to feel confused. We don't want to acknowledge those feelings that are questioning our mental health, so busyness kind of drowns it out.
I've been really going through it recently, actually, since we got back from holiday. So since sort of the beginning of January, with feeling I got this bug, and I think a lot of people have had it, which then didn't go. And then hormonally, I felt completely off balance, out of shape in that area. So I've been really lethargic, crying loads, that real, like, those tears which just keep coming and coming and coming. I haven't experienced them for a really long time. Then just feeling completely flat, like no energy, even after sort of eight and a half, 9 hours sleep, just waking up feeling shattered. And it was only yesterday where I was like, I cannot cope with this anymore. Mouth ulcers, my period's doing weird cycles, my whole, you know, it's just a never-ending list of, I'm just completely depleted. I went and had some acupuncture and some acupoint massage, and I've booked in, and she was like, oh, I'm so glad you found me. And I was like, just fix me,
help me.
But I had 2 hours there, and I've booked in for six sessions, and it was that really lovely feeling of taking control and putting myself first. I had to do it.
It got
I was at breaking point, actually. Like, Luna was hugging me the other day, and she was like, why are you crying? And I was just like, I just don't know, I just feel so low.
You're done, you're at the bottom of the hill. You've crashed. And I think often that's what we find, is our immune system is really compromised when we're in that place, because we just have nothing. We've got nothing left. So all of that, you know, everything that your body's been trying to stave off, because you're in fight or flight mode, you know. When we live like this, we are in fight, or we're living in this kind of heightened state, in this stress state. That's a state meant to be reserved for saving our lives. Should
we
need
it?
We're not meant to live like, we're not meant to live in this state.
But this is what I don't understand, is why do we do it to ourselves? Like, why? How have we got to this stage? Because I don't feel like my mum is like that at all. Or, you know, anyone of that generation. Well, maybe some, but I don't know that many people of that generation who live like that.
Yeah.
Why why is it us? Apart from social media, like, is that why? Because we just keep seeing other things and thinking, I need to do that, I need to do that.
Massively, yeah,
massively perpetuates things. You talk to people when they've taken social media out of their life and they'll tell you how their mental health has changed. You know, it's often women that are driven, naturally driven.
Yeah.
You're driven before you have children. You're used to getting out what you put in, you know, and then you have children and maybe you like routine and then suddenly that's what compromise, and maybe you had all your things in place that you got a lot from that fed you, like socialising with people that really make you laugh, because laughter is a therapy. You know, how much do we laugh these days?
Oh, yeah, so true.
Yeah. All of those things have been pushed out, and actually we kind of think, well, just because I can't go to the gym for 90 minutes like I used to and do a nice class and do that, so there's no point. Well, that's a big fib. We have to find ways to break it down. You know, I went for a walk yesterday instead of doing work with a friend. We went for a walk for an hour in the woods, and I can tell you it was like therapy.
Yeah,
I felt totally different.
Yeah,
afterwards, you know. And sometimes we just have to move other things out so that we recognize that we have to start recognizing that these are the fuel, you know. Yeah. These are the petrol. We can't keep living in the red, because one day we will end up on the side of the M25 waiting for a recovery van. I've done that. It's flipping embarrassing.
Yeah, it's awful. It's
really embarrassing. Oh my gosh, I remember that we laughed with the man and we were like, I bet this happens all the time. And he was like, no,
it doesn't.
It doesn't actually happen all the time, because a lot of people wouldn't be so stupid, you know, to just not fill up the tank when it's in the red and carry on driving. But that's what we're doing.
Yeah. I think you're right with the little changes as well, just in terms of what you did yesterday.
Yeah,
we live in the UK and in countries that don't have amazing weather, this very inside life, and I find that very hard, just being indoors a lot of the time. And when I feel really exhilarated and filled up with energy is when I'm outside walking.
So
and
you actually need a little bit more of that.
But I think a lot of us could do that. You know, the soft.
We need
like the soft place, fucking soft play, indoors again.
You could be in any country, in any time zone. It could be 4 a.m. and it would still be the same.
You know, a play date.
I avoid them now.
Yeah. But like even going around to a play date for someone, you know, if it's raining, you've got to be indoors. If the weather's crap, you've got to be indoors. Like, it's hard for us to live that indoor life, I think. It drives me mad.
Yeah,
I feel very low.
Do you know what I find about being indoors is that I'm indoors and I see everything that needs to be done. Whereas if I take myself out, it's not there.
It's not there.
Whereas I think it was last Monday, I was really hungover. And normally I would take Axel to school.
The Monday.
Sunday
drinking.
Sunday boozing. Yeah. And normally I would get up, just power through it, take Axel to school, go to the gym, then spend some time near his school before I picked him up, like doing other stuff, you know, like going to the carpet man and doing this. And I got up and I was like, do you know what? I'm just going to stay at home today. So I just had Gigi at home. And I thought, and I'm not going to do anything. Well, not nothing, but I wasn't going to be crazy. And it's made me feel so much better for the week.
Did the world fall apart?
Nothing.
Yeah. Did the sky open up?
No, yeah. The house was a bit messier than I probably would want it to be, but it was going to be messy by the second Axel got home anyway, so that didn't really matter. Yeah. And it was just, it was really nice.
Yeah.
It was... because I couldn't go out. If I, you know, if I had have been able to go out because it wasn't raining, then I probably would have. But actually, I stayed in and I still felt the same.
But you just, because that was a slight contradiction, because you said, when I stay in, there's always stuff to do, so I need to go out. And then you said, but I just stayed in. So
like
what the thing is, you let that go.
Yeah, let it go. Exactly. Yeah.
That's why we need to look at our standards. Like, we've got all this stuff to do, right?
Yeah.
But do we have to do it to the stand? Does it have to be done? You know, we feel like the axis that our family spins upon.
Yeah.
You know, we've got all of these things to do, but to what extent are we doing them? Can we cut corners? Like, cutting corners is a valid form of self-care, if you ask me.
Okay.
Like,
yes.
getting cook meals, or, you know, those kind of ones that are already made that you shove in the freezer, that's a form of self-care. You know, big slow cook meals, so you're not having to cook 20 meals, you know, in your kitchen. Now,
putting your phone to bed, you know, 8 o'clock or 7:30 in a book. I'm doing it now. I'm doing it. I'm putting it away. I'm leaving it in the kitchen, and it's really, really good for me, because I would just sit there after we've done a post or whatever. I'm just like that. It's done now. Away.
But we say we haven't got any time to relax. But actually, when we look at how much time we spend on our phones, how much of it is actually productive? You know, we say, I'm just going to do this. I'm just going to do that. Well, do you really just need to do that? You know, ask yourself. I think we use our phones often. It's to switch our brains off. We're actually kind of trying just to numb off for a minute and escape. But what if we picked up a book instead?
oh my God, I have not picked up a book for 4 years. I haven't read a book.
Podcast, you know, or something that is feeding you. I heard something amazing the other day. It says the difference between you now and you next year is what you filled your mind with and who you've been around. Mm. You know, so I've made it my mission this year to listen to loads of great podcasts and to read some books instead of being on my phone. Like, instead of taking my phone in the bath, hashtag self-care, I'm going to take a book. Now, that's completely different. Yeah. Instead of taking from me, it's giving to me. You know, and it's those little choices. And actually, we say, oh, I haven't got time. Well, how much time are we wasting just being passive to switch off when actually we could be doing something that is really nourishing?
Yeah. And when the baby naps, what do we do?
You know, sometimes self-care is ticking off a few boxes. Sometimes self-care is putting the list aside and resting. It's having that kind of maturity in that moment to be like, what do I actually need? Just like you are for your children. And I encourage all my clients to say, to ask themselves, like, to check in, feeling need. How am I feeling right now? What do you need? You know, when was the last time anyone said to you, you know, so what do you need? Like, what do you need?
No, let me tell you.
what do you need?
What do I need? That's really, I don't know when the last time, no one's asked me that question. I don't know. What do I need? I need just a bit more energy at the moment.
How do you get that?
I don't know how to get that.
You need to slow down.
But like, I've just got such a big life that, you know, require. And really, I just want to be with my kids and just spend more time with them. And then there's that mum guilt that you're like, am I working too hard? Am I prioritising other things over them? But we need the income. And, you know, there's all these things that are constantly going through my head. And Dozer said to me the other day, God, you're just a bit quiet at the moment. What's going on? You're in your head. And I really am.
Yeah.
I'm kind of definitely, I feel like my shutters have come down a bit and I'm like really analysing my life. I don't want to live in this country anymore. I think that is the big thing for me. What do you need? I need to move away, I think, and be somewhere warm.
Yeah.
Because it's not really fresh start. It's just, I find this weather and I find the drudgery of it, like, and the cold. I'm not from, you know, I've brought up in Kenya. It's like, I need the sunshine. So I'd love to be able to kind of create a life where my kids are outside running on the beach every day. And that lifestyle works for me.
Yeah.
How can I make that happen, Anna?
Well, how can you make that happen? That's about sitting down and, you know, thinking about it and thinking about, you know, what's in your life that have become the non-negotiables that actually need to be the optionals and what needs to be the non-negotiables that have become the option. You know, does that even make sense? Sounds like a bit of a work.
Yeah.
You know, we've made rest an optional.
Yes.
It needs to be a non-negotiable. We've made self-care an indulgent optional. It needs to be a non-negotiable. We need to break it down. Rest. Go to bed a little bit earlier.
Yep.
You know, it's so easy not to do because we feel that actually sometimes we want to stay up late because we've just got space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A nice evening.
Yeah. Like, oh, no one needs from me. But the last 2 days I've got up an hour earlier than normal.
What time would that be?
It's actually not that bad. This morning I got up at 5:30.
Oh, that is quite hard. Yeah,
see, I'm more of a morning person than a night
so
owl.
So that works for me.
Yeah.
And I did a workout and I did a little headspace, 3 minute headspace thing lying on the floor.
What was that?
Like headspace. Oh, man.
Yeah.
You need a bit of this.
I don't have that.
Oh,
it's an app. Do you have that, Georgia?
Yeah, I've got Calm and Headspace.
Yeah, all of these, you know, there are apps, which is, you know, we're kind of saying spend less time on your phone. But then, you know, a lot of these things are on our phone because it's so helpful because we always have it.
Yeah.
But that's self-care and that's self-love,
isn't
it?
Yeah, but it's 3 minutes.
Yes.
You know, and it made, and then I had a shower. And often I spend my whole day in my gym stuff because I try and do a workout at some point. Then I end up at the end of the day, still in my gym stuff, having not done the workout or had a shower.
Oh my God, I'm exactly the same. And the other, on Sunday night, I was like, I got into bed and I thought, when was the last time I had a shower? And it was like Saturday morning. I was like, God, I'm awful. I'm getting in the shower now.
I know, but you know, if those things fill you up, like for me, it's the 3 minutes lying on the floor, listening to a little meditation thing. It's the little workout. It's the having a shower in the morning. It's the brushing my teeth before the kid, you know, just doing those little things. How can I make space for it? I'm going to have to get up a bit earlier, which means I'm going to have to go to bed earlier. But it's these little things. We can make space. But we have to listen to ourselves and ask ourselves what we need and find ways to do it.
And I think if you're listening to this and you're in that really fuzzy horrendous newborn stage where, you know, it's not a case of getting up earlier, it's a case of like just surviving the nights. And you know what, you remember what it was like when baby's feeding on demand, or you know, you're bottle feeding and you have to do it every couple of hours. Like it's really stressful, and it's like you can't really ever get away from that. But I guess in those moments, if you can do what Anna was saying, it takes 3 minutes to just do a little bit of headspace, a little bit of calm, a little bit of meditation, whatever it is, to try and just remember you in all of that craziness.
Yeah. I bet you find 3 minutes to scroll. And it's also about learning to accept support of other people.
Yes.
Because we also haven't really got any support. Well, often we'll get offers of support, but we'll just be like, no, I'm fine. You know, do you want me to bring, when I had a newborn, do you want me to bring around a meal?
No, don't worry.
It's fine. Do you want me to look after the baby so you can have that? No, it's fine. You know, we've got to stop thinking that accepting support is failure. Mm. You know, we're made to be a part of a village and we've become our own.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, we have become our own support network.
Yeah.
That's not okay.
And also, it doesn't matter if the bed's not made. It doesn't matter if you haven't done ironing. It doesn't matter if you haven't done washing. Like, all those things are actually so not important.
You are important.
Let that be your mantra. You know, does it matter? Yeah. Just ask yourself as you go to do that and rush to do that, does it matter in this moment?
Yeah. I want to just before, because we're going to have to kind of get onto our products, and I want to find out what Georgia needs, because Georgia never
says what she needs.
I need some time to myself. Mm. That's what I need, I think. I love being on my own. This is so weird, but I do. I really enjoy being on my own.
Only child.
And even if I go on a girl's holiday or whatever, I'll get up before everybody else just to have an hour by myself. Mm. And everyone knows that about me, or I'll just, like, you know, take myself off for half an hour and that's cool. But I don't really do it anymore.
You need to make that happen, because that will enable you to be more you. And that's what, you know, that's what your partner's up for. He wants you to be you.
Yeah,
you
know, I know.
Your kids need you to be you. And when we strip away these things and we see them as optionals that need to be non-negotiables, we lose part of ourselves,
so
don't
true.
We?
Yeah.
And you said to me the other day that you reckon that, you know, all the other guys that play for your husband's team, they're sort of back at two. James walks in the door at four because he's had a couple of hours extra to himself.
But that's
He's doing it. But you need it too.
I know.
And he takes it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Definitely. He probably doesn't have
a massive crisis of worth. Because he feels useless, because there are all these things that he's not doing.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a question of identity for him, where it becomes a question of identity for us. Yeah. If I'm not doing, what am I worth to anyone?
Yeah, it's,
you know,
true.
What's my value? Yeah. Well, it actually hasn't changed at all if you did nothing all day or if you did everything.
I love you, Anna.
I love you.
Now, on the podcast, we like to ask every guest that comes in, what is the best piece of advice that they've ever been given? Or the piece of advice that they wish that they'd known before, you know, life pre-kid.
So I keep reminding myself at the minute, you know, and I love this bit of advice. You are not what you think, right? So you might think you're a failure. Doesn't mean you are one. You know, you might think you're rubbish. Doesn't mean you are. You know, we kind of like to believe what we think. And actually start questioning that. You know, you might feel like a failure. Doesn't mean you are a failure. You might feel guilty. Doesn't mean you are guilty.
No.
You might feel like you've done something wrong. It doesn't mean that you have. You know, just really questioning the lies that we believe about ourselves. Being like, where did that actually come from? Like, who said that about me in the past? It's actually not even about me. It's about what they've said from their own stuff. Mm. And just, questioning some of these statements. Like, not everything you think is right.
I think that's a great piece of advice.
We like to be right, isn't it? So it's not an easy thing to challenge. But, you know, it's a good thing to challenge.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, I like that.
Should we get onto products?
Yes. So we always ask what our guests' 5 favourite products are. So what would yours be?
So we're talking like...
So, potentially. Did we speak about this?
We did speak about this.
So around the subject, so kind of maybe like self-care or self-care.
Yeah, right. So things that you love as well. I have a little list. And you know what? Headspace app is number 2. In no particular order, but just some apps on your phone that you can use to ground you. And you just question, like, what's the best thing for me to do right now? 3 minutes of headspace or 3 minutes of scrolling? You know, what's going to give me, what's going to give and what's going to take? Essential oil rollers. I'm obsessed
love
with
those.
Oh, what's this?
Oh, mate. Yes. I haven't even got any in my bag, but I'm covered in them this morning. I'm surprised you can't smell it. They're just kind of essential oil blends, and they're all, you know, different smells and different oils blended to kind of like help you feel energised or help you feel grounded. And I just find them so helpful.
Holland and Barrett.
There's lots of different research.
Do some really nice ones. Okay.
Yeah, Holland and Barrett, Neal's Yard, doTERRA, I've got some from there as well. Love those. Got so many knocking around the house.
You can just keep them in your handbag and then you can just roll them on the
on your temple, on your wrist.
Okay,
I use them for the kids as well sometimes. You know, when they just flipping love cowpole. I mean, I don't blame them because it's delicious. But yeah,
it's not so delicious now. There's no sugar in it.
Oh, I still would.
Get the full sugary one.
You'd have to have a whole bottle's worth, don't you, though, for it to kick a headache. But, you know, sometimes if they're kind of a bit moany, I'm like, well, let's do a special oil first. You know, a little breathe one like a peppermint if they've got a headache or. So yeah. They're quite helpful with the kids. It's kind of a stopgap before cowpole. A book that feeds you and a book to escape to. So I like a book that is teaching me something. And like, you know, I'm reading at the minute. It's like an Oprah Winfrey one, Everything I Knew or something. I can't remember. But I just flick through like a tiny chapter a day. And then another book to escape to. So I like reading before I go to sleep. It just helps me switch my brain off. So a book that is like a story. It's not kind of for any particular purpose other than just kind of escape.
Lovely. Like a Jilly Cooper.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, come on, they're the best books out there, right? Still
on your bookshelf. I love it. So I'm trying to think how many I've done. I think I've done like 3 grab bags. I've got the Scampandoo grab bags. I don't know if you've got any of those, but they're just like little bags, bags, and I just have loads of them, and it just makes life so much easier. I've got one for each child, so if I'm going out with either one of them, they're already got nappies and wipes or a change of clothes. Shove it in the car. So it's kind of cut some of that time.
Oh, yeah. That's so good.
I don't need a changing bag anymore.
No, me neither.
I've got a little handbag. Makes me feel grown up
again. Oh, you too. I've still got
shove it in the
changing
car,
bag.
You.
Yeah. Gigi's 7 months.
Yeah, so. Well, there we go.
Yeah. Still bottles.
And I just drive around everywhere because of where I live. So I can always just dash out to the car and get it. But I just like having kind of compartmentalising everything so I can just shove it in the car.
Such a good idea.
That is
my
a great
change
idea.
Bag is one nappy in my pocket with a couple of water wipes.
Absolutely.
I'm like, oh, what's in here? Oh, a nappy.
That's all you need.
Candy.
Really, it's all you need. Some snack crumbs.
I love that idea. I'm going to get more organised at home.
Yeah.
It's going to help me feel better, I think.
Yeah. My final one is breathing exercises. I know it's not a thing, but it's a free thing that we can literally use to calm our nervous system down. And I honestly used to think, oh, breathing exercises, whatever, until I was in labour and I realised quite how powerful they are.
Yes.
It physiologically affecting your adrenaline and your cortisol levels. You know, that fight or flight feeling that we get in burnout, that kind of literally on edge and like you are running, like you're being chased and you're living life. And it suppresses it and it calms it down. So it can be like breathing in for 4 and out for 7.
Right.
There are loads of different ways. Find one that doesn't make you feel lightheaded. I do them a lot in the car. Because I always feel really nervous overtaking lorries, so I kind of breathe my way past. But, you know, it helps with temper tantrums. And when you're trying to just calm yourself down, because you feel that stress response, and you feel like, oh my gosh, the kids are just, And, you know, I go into that, I just do a few rounds of breathing. And it's like a secret weapon. And it's scientifically, physiologically, psychologically useful. So, every day.
Love it.
Use it.
I think that those products are really, really useful.
Yeah, there we love you, Anna.
Yeah,
you've been
you.
Such a treat to chat
thank
to.
You
and I feel like
Georgia
and I are going to go away with loads of really helpful tips on how to make ourselves feel better.
Yes, good. And I'm not cooking tonight.
No, good.
James can do one.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Anna.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks.
Bye.
I love Anna.
So do I.
She's amazing, isn't she?
Yeah, she really is. I think it's so nice to sometimes sound out how you're feeling with somebody who completely gets it as well.
I just really hope that my husband's not listening to that. What do you need? I need to move away to Los Angeles. He's going to be like, I thought you said you liked Guildford. Well, it's not LA though, is it, mate?
No, it's not. And talking about what we need,
yes.
Let's talk about some of the products that we love at the moment. So maybe beauty or anything that just really helps us.
Yeah, and helping out with the burnout, basically.
Yes, exactly.
So I am loving Law Originals, which is cruelty-free, vegan, hair and skin. scalp care that kind of works for everybody. So it's paraben free, it's got no nasties in it. And last night I did the Legend Intensive Hair Treatment Mask. What do you reckon?
I was going to say, your hair looks really, really glossy
it
today.
It's really, really soft.
It does look really glossy. I think someone else mentioned that earlier as well when they came in.
I've been bouncing it around.
It's beautiful.
They've got a whole range of really lovely kind of hair treatments and everyday kind of shampoo and conditioner. I just like the fact that it's got no nasty bits in it as well.
Yeah, I think a lot of us are becoming more mindful to that now, aren't we?
Yes.
So for me, I've sort of spoken about how I've been finding getting to sleep a bit harder recently. And one of the things that I found really helpful are space masks. So
yeah.
I don't even know how this helps, but it really does. And lots of people have said it's cured their insomnia and it helps with migraines. So they're these little masks that you put on your face and they heat up, and I think they heat up for about 15 minutes, but I never know when they stopped because I'm asleep by then.
Amazing.
And do you know what, my mum and dad are both really bad sleepers and they have both said that they really help.
Tell me
well.
That you've given Billy a space
I've given
mask.
Billy a space mask.
Granddad Billy.
Granddad Billy, yeah, that's my dad. And he loves it as well. So okay. I
need to try
the whole
them.
Family are on them.
Amazing. So yeah, the next product for me is, well, it stems from a bit of a tragic story. I was out with one of my mum and one of my mum's mates the other day, and she was like, "Oh, you look really well. You look great. Oh, are your hands a bit dehydrated?" And I was like, "No, I didn't think so." And she was like, "Hold your hand out and pull the skin on the top of the hand up."
Yeah.
And if it takes ages to go away, then you've got dehydrated hands. And after about 30 seconds, I was like, "Oh, the skin's still sticking.
Still
up.
There.
Seems I'm very dehydrated in my hands." So I've been using for like basically the last week. I've done two. Sort of nights of this Starskin VIP, the gold hand mask, which is basically you put your hands in these amazing gloves and it's just a nourishing treatment for the hands, so you don't feel so dehydrated and look hopefully my hands are looking better.
I think they do. And do you know what, I think as mums we wash our hands so much, especially like sterilising bottles and all that kind of stuff. I've never really thought about it, but since you said that, I've actually just ordered the Beauty Pie Retinol hand cream.
Oh yeah, that's supposed to be amazing.
Yeah, exactly, which leads me on to my product. So I've just signed up to Beauty Pie, and you pay, well, I'm paying £10 a month, and I basically get a certain amount of money that I can spend on the site every month. So they've sort of cut out the middleman when selling beauty products. So it's a lady who used to work for a big beauty company, worked out that most products come from the same factory, so she created her own brand where you can get really good quality ingredients in your products for not very much money.
I love
so
this.
I've just tried the fake tan, which I think is incredible. I can't remember how much it is, but it's definitely under a tenner. And my normal fake tan would be like 35-40 quid. So I think it's a really good one. And also it's so nice, a nice gift for a new mum to say, right, you've got this spending cap every month. Mm. You have to use it. You've got to treat yourself. So yeah, that's mine, Beauty Pie.
And it would be a nice thing, like you said, it'd be a nice gift to give somebody, say, look, I've done this for 6 months for you.
Yeah,
you
know, exactly.
You, instead of buying them a hamper or, you know, some cook vouchers or whatever, just
get them something they really want. Exactly. And you only end up spending like 15 quid a month on products and you get some amazing stuff. So
love that.
I think it's really good.
My last product is Olaplex, which is obviously another hair kind of hero product that we love.
We are so into the hair.
We're into the hair. I've been using their bonding oil, which it is about 28 quid, but it's lasted forever, and you only need a few drops in your hair, and you can put it on after you've styled it or when the hair is still damp before you get out your hair dryer. So yeah, I really recommend it. I love it. I love a good oil because this one doesn't go too heavy.
Yeah, it's good. It is, and it's good for just dry ends, isn't it? Sometimes
my ends are absolutely fooled. Right, listen, that's it for us for this week. Thank you so much for listening. As always, we would love you to rate, review and subscribe to the podcast, and obviously tell all your mates about it, please.
Yes, please do. And please drop us a message at Made by Mamas or on Zoe's own channel at Zoe Hardman.
Any feedback would be much appreciated, and we're going to be back next week with more chats. Can't wait.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.